Okay. Hello, please, sir.
God bless you.
My name is Sister Beauty. Calling from Paris. My question, sir, because there's a lady that called from Switzerland. My question still goes the same way, like a sister. Because me, I have a family problem. And my brothers and my sister, we are together here. We don't talk. They always fight me for years now, since 2010. And my pastor told me, and said that Abraham, God told Abraham to leave his fatherland to another land. Can I make peace with them? That is my question. Or I should go according to the word of my pastor.
God bless you, Sister Beauty. Listen, church, listen. Sister Beauty. Anybody that advises you to disintegrate your family, to scatter your family, stay away with your family, is not helping you. The Bible says, as much as lie not, say we should live peaceably with all men, and he said we should pursue peace. They should be the ones running away from you, not you running away from them. Unless there is anything around them that disturbs your spiritual life. But light does not run from darkness. It's darkness that runs away from the light. By the life that you live, they will be converted. And they will serve your God. Go back to your family. When God told Abraham to leave his family, listen very well. You don't take one part of scripture and reject the other. Those are the same people God says you separate from, that he sent Eliezer to go again to them and pick a wife for his son. So, you don't use Abraham's story carnally like that, because it is speaking of salvation. So, and even then, you can see that it was Abraham's separation from Lot was in the interest of peace, and they parted peacefully. And until his heart was still so much with Lot, until when God wanted to go and destroy Sodom where Lot resided, God still had to come to Abraham to inform him, to give Abraham opportunity to intercede for his brother that he had separated from, Lot. So you have to understand it that way. So go back and reconcile with your family. God bless you. And let me use this opportunity and tell you, who say you are a Christian, therefore you will not attend your family meeting. It is wrong. Make sure you attend your family meeting. Make sure you attend your town meeting. Where you come from, if they are gathering anywhere, you still came from there. Go and join them. The only thing is, we say, don't join them to do any unscriptural thing. Simple. But pay your dues. We all know why they gather. We all know why they gather. And everybody, praise the Lord, don't you do that. Go and join them and shine the light there. From there you can win souls. After all, no matter how Christian you are, we are on this world but not of this world. But you are still an Igbo man from your village. Thank you. Skype from Sister Salamatu in Sweden. He said, bless you, O Bride of Christ. I am blessed tonight with these wonderful teachings. Now, I would like to ask about the women dressing. Sir, what is the difference between trousers and tight skirts that expose the shape of women? I see in bride, many women wear tight skirts and some of the women shave their eyebrow. But the Holy Spirit warns me, whenever I put on tight skirt and stretch dress, will these people make heaven? They are already answering you, Sister Salamatu. Now, Sister Salama, to listen very well. Praise the Lord. That is another mystery of redemption. That is another mystery of salvation. Why does God go to you to warn you not to do it? And does not go to another one? Do you understand? Why will God warn you not to do it and does not warn another one? It is the same question. Why does God go and wire some people when they commit sin? And some commit worse than that. And he doesn't do anything with them. The answer is simple. It is only those who are his children that he's interested in bringing them up properly. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. He said, and let them that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Remember, Salama 2, the Bible says, not all Israel are of Israel. Not every Christian is of Christ. Also, the only reason is God may be giving them enough reason, patience, giving them time to change before he will descend on them. But I also want you to note that in every revival, there is always a mixed multitude. So because you are in Bride Assembly does not mean you are a member of the Bride of Jesus Christ. And so by their fruits, ye shall know them. The Bride of Christ will not dress like prostitutes. The Bride of Christ will not want to expose and dress with tight dresses and expose their whatever they call it. And no matter how you correct some, the more you speak against it, the tighter it becomes. Well, you wait, and maybe you say, why do we allow them into the church? The truth is, we don't allow them. That's the truth. If we see them, we drive them away. That is the truth. That is the truth. They smuggle themselves into the church. No, but that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Any Christian woman that even dresses and puts on a skirt that is above her knees, you know it is not a proper dress. A dress that you cannot sit down comfortably is not a Christian dress. That's the truth. Why will you want to sit down and then people will see your tights and even see your pants? It's nothing like that. You know that something is wrong with that person. But it's okay. We believe that they will receive the Holy Ghost and they will change. God bless you. Sorry, another call. Chris from Netherlands. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. We are hearing you, Chris from Netherlands.
My name is Chris. I'm calling from Netherlands.
Yes.
Pastor, I'm asking the question with respect to conviction. You spoke of conviction. Speaking of new spirit, I can say I do have a new spirit, and sometimes the Holy Ghost, I can say as well, because the evidence, as you say, is that some of the things you used to do, you do them no more. But sometimes I get convicted when you preach. I'm wondering if this is normal, because personally I try to be as diligent as possible, but sometimes I just find myself questioning certain things when you speak. I'm wondering, is this normal?
Sometimes you find yourself doing what?
I'm sorry?
You say sometimes you find yourself doing what?
I'm questioning. I'm just asking myself questions. I'm convicted sometimes when you still speak. Even though I see that I do some things no more, but I feel I'm convicted at times when you speak. Is this normal for a Christian?
When I preach?
Yes.
When I preach, you feel convicted?
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes.
Is this normal for a Christian?
Oh, it's very normal. It's very normal. The Bible, the book of James, referred to the word of God as a mirror. As a mirror.
I see.
Yes, sometimes when we preach, then you are able to see some little things that you overlook and discover that they matter much, yes, you feel convicted. It happens, yes. And it is only somebody who is watchful that can take note of such. It is normal. God bless you. And Skyped again, Sister Loretta from France. He says, Shalom, brethren. My question is, as a predestinated seed of God, do one need to ask God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost before being given? Praise the Lord. Now, listen. There are three ways you receive the Holy Ghost. One is in Acts chapter 10. While Peter yet spake, as he was talking to them about Christ Jesus and the redemption that came by him, the Holy Ghost came on the house of Cornelius. So, yes, just in the church, listening like this, God can visit that person. Praise the Lord. Then we have laying on of hands in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 19, by laying on of the hands. Then we have Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? So you can ask, hands can be laid on you, and he can visit you even before you ask. God bless you. Yes.
Sir, please, I want you to expatiate this for me. Can one have the Holy Ghost but not being born again?
Can one do what?
Have the Holy Ghost and not being born again. Because I'm asking this because in the north where I school, I know one or two men of God who claim to have the Holy Ghost, but they're not born again.
But I've just explained that to you. You are talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost, not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost, anybody can operate it. By their fruit, you will know them. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes for the new birth. The receipt of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that is the new birth.
That's wrong. Even though you know him, he said that he...
No, it's not. I'm telling you a principle.
Yes.
I'm telling you a principle. I say, whoever he may be, I say there are people, even in this church, that operate gifts, but they are not converted. Even here. We have seen many of them.
So it's possible.
By their fruit, we know them. God bless you. The genuine gift to you. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
I want to ask a question. I attended one program in one church. So they are saying they should pray for sinner to ask for God for forgiveness. The next person beside me was praying, Lord, do not allow the door of mercy to shut over me. Is it right for somebody to pray like
that? Oh, yes. That's a powerful prayer point. Luke chapter 13. Let me show you there. Now, in Luke chapter 13, verse 23, this is the way Jesus Christ, he said, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. The door is open now, but the time is going to come when you will stand up and close the door of mercy. And there will be no more mercy, no more salvation. So it's a powerful prayer point.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Hello, sir.
Go ahead, Sister Berry from USA.
Hello, sir. My name is Ebony from United States. But the question I want to ask now is, does it mean that most of these female ministers, because I see a lot of ministers, does it mean that the female ministers that are ministering now are not of God?
Thank you, Sister Berry of USA. They are of God. Listen, church. They are of God. Why? Because they are preaching in the name of the Lord. They are winning souls for God. And the anointing that they are using is anointing given to them by God. And their motive is a godly motive. But listen, sister, there's a message I preach. You can look for it in our message archives that are titled The Perfect and the Permissive Will of God. There is the perfect will of God and the permissive will of God. And I said something here, there in that message, that no matter what you do, that the will, the perfect will of God will always stand. Listen, in Luke chapter 19 and also Matthew chapter 25, it speaks about the parable of the talents. Now, it is that parable is Christ himself, the householder, that calls his servants and gives them talents and tells them, occupy till I come. Now, those talents are the gifts that he has given us. And when he comes, he's going to ask you what you did with the gifts. And based on that, he will give you reward. But remember, he will only reward you for what he himself has sent you to do. If you set yourself, you will reward yourself. And the scripture made it clear that a woman cannot lead, be in the leadership offices in the church. The leadership offices are the fivefold ministry. Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 gave the reason why a woman cannot teach nor usurp authority over the man. And he gave reason. Two major reasons there that he gave. And you cannot sidetrack that. And then listen, even in the Old Testament, listen, it among the tribe of Levi, there were men and women there, but only the men were ordained in the priesthood office. No woman was a priestess to go and stand at the altar and minister there. Why? Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Apostle Paul says so. And when Jesus Christ came to select his disciples, there was no woman among the 12 disciples. And even after Jesus Christ had gone, Judas died, the disciples came together as close as those sisters were to Jesus, including Mary, mother of Jesus. The disciples did not say, look, let's balance this thing by bringing woman. They still chose another man to replace Judas. You have to understand that it is not coincidence. There is a reason for it. Now, the problem we are saying now is that you have to understand that the fact that God is using those women in the permissive estate must not be allowed to break scripture. The scripture is God's perfect will. The fact that God used an animal one time to prophesy to a prophet, Balaam, does not mean that we shall carry our animals and train them on how to speak in tongues. God has not ordained women. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, church. The ark of the Lord was to be brought by David back to Israel. Amen. Was that not a wonderful desire? It was. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says they went with over 3,000 strong reviver. They were dancing. They took the ark in a new cart. Is that not a good desire? They put a horse in front and made a beautiful vehicle, decorated it. But before you know what, the ark stumbled and the cart stumbled and the ark was about to fall. And Uzzah tried to go and help it. God struck him to die. As beautiful, the intention was beautiful, was honorable. That service was honorable. But God did not ordain that ark to be carried like that. I brought that out in a message entitled The Due Order. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You have to understand that. The problem a lot of you are looking at is you are looking at the revival that is taking place. The testimonies are following. The number of people that are giving their lives to Christ under such ministry. But as an example I always give that you should watch concerning Moses. I said Moses was asked when the people were testing. Moses went to the Lord. The Lord said, the stick you have. He showed him a rock. Go to that rock and strike it. Water will come out. He did it and water came out. They drank it and there was revival everywhere. But another time again, it came up again. Moses still went before the Lord. That rock appeared again. And God told him, go and speak. He was not to strike. This time he should go and speak. He struck before, but now go and speak. That was the commandment of the Lord. Go and speak. But what happened? When he got there, out of anger, whatever is the reason, he did the wrong thing. He struck the rock. Amen. What I always want you to take note in this example is that he did the wrong thing, but water still came out. And the people drank. And there was revival in the land. Oh, this Moses, very anointed. Mommy, very anointed. This mommy, aya, mommy Gio, aye. Very anointed. But God did not tell her to go and be a pastor. But she's pastoring. A revival is taking place. Why the revival was taking place in the camp of Israel, from the water they drank, a death sentence was hanging over Moses. God is no respecter of persons. William Branham brought it out in a message entitled, Doing God a Service Without It Being the Will of God. There are people that are doing God a service, but it is not the will of God for them to do it. And that's why many of them have no single message. And I preach another message so that you can go and look for it. I title it, Running Without a Message. God bless you, my sister that called. Brother Ali.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, Malam Ali from Kano State. Yakubu okay. Ali, Yakubu Ali, Yayade, Lafia, yo.
Lafia, Galeria, I see.
Mungo de Allah. Yawa.
So my question is this. Is it possible for a person who has the Holy Ghost to go to hell?
No. It is not possible. It is not possible.
Okay, sir. If it is not possible, what is the implication of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23? What is the implication of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26 that says, anyone who deliberately continues to sin, that there wouldn't be any mercy for that person?
Anybody who deliberately?
Yes, according to Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26. That there's no mercy again for that person.
Now, we will read it. Okay, let's read it. So that you will catch it. Malam Ali.
Okay.
Hebrew. Okay. Now verse 26, Hebrews chapter 10. It says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Read on. Next verse. What remains is a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. The next verse. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, let's read this thing very well. Go to Peter. Let's go to, I think it's 2 Peter. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2. Are we there? Verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now verse 22 is my emphasis. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow, that is a pig, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Church, listen. Why did he say it like that? Because you have tasted of the evidence of the reality of God. You have seen vision of heavenly things. You have seen angels. You have seen healing taking place in your own prayer. You have seen evidence of it. You have got to know about the knowledge of who God is and what He can do, of His reality. And you still, despite that, go back. It simply means praise the Lord. You have no excuse at all. What Apostle Paul is trying to bring out there is your own punishment will be higher than any other person, because the prostitute there, the Baba, all those other people who die in ignorance, who may not know as much as you know, at least they will say that ignorance caused their own. Your own is not ignorant. So, but he also added, it's just that the dog has gone back to his own vomit, and it simply means you were not converted. Simple. That's why you could go back. If the nature has changed, that vomit, you can't eat it again. It will be too nauseating for you to go back. But a pig is a pig until the nature is changed. It's a pig. Praise the Lord. So that is what that scripture means. But remember, Brother Ali, Yakubu Ali, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Can we read it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I want him to see it. What does it say? He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day you commit sin. You are sealed with the Holy Ghost until when? Until the day of redemption. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. The Holy Ghost seals you until the day we are changed and gone. So you can never go to hell if you have received the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is eternal life. Eternal life is a life that has no end. So sin cannot end it. And because sin cannot end it, if you commit anything, God will deal with you. Make your life rough here. Can I prove that to you? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. The fornicator in the church. The fornicator that took his father's wife in the Corinthian church. This is the judgment that Apostle Paul said in verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Or verse 4. Let me read it from verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Holy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that to deliver such a one, that's that fornicator, unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Do you understand what that verse 5 is saying? To deliver such a one, verse 5 again, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of this flesh, so that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You will lose all your rewards because of the sin you bet you will be saved. Because once you are a son, forever you are a son. There is no stage that your son can ever cease to be your son. Until the day it is possible to remove your blood from his blood. Isn't it? Isn't it? It is now. Grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. That's a mystery of salvation. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. You can never lose your salvation, but you will lose the joy of salvation. You will live a rough life here. Sometimes God will even call you home. You die, but you will be in heaven. Praise the Lord. God, whom he loves, he chastises. And if God is the one dealing with you, who will deliver you? It is a fearful thing to fall to the hands of the Almighty God. That's what Apostle Paul said. Thank you.
Sir, one who dies will start receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Will he go to heaven?
Eh?
Someone, a believer, who hunger and thirst for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and but eventually he dies and he didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, will he make heaven, sir?
No, it is not possible for you to hunger and thirst for the Holy Ghost and will not receive. Because of Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you ask, he will give you. So you, if you desire the Holy Ghost, you will never die until you receive. That is the assurance we have. Thank you. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for this great word of exposition.
Thank you very much.
Pastor, my question is this. Still, women activities in the church. I want to ask, in the Old Testament, Deborah was a minister of God. And in this present time, we have women.
Sorry, which temple was she ministering in?
The Bible said he was a minister.
The and Bible says so.
And this present
time. No, hold on. I don't know which scripture says she was a minister of God. Which scripture is that? She was a judge. It was a political office she was holding. It was not a spiritual office.
Sir, what do you say about women being founders of churches this day?
They are out of the perfect will of God. That's what I've explained. God did not send them to do it. They are doing it out of... Some of them out of overzealousness. Some of them out of family business tendencies, and some of them out of ignorance, and some of them is something else. God, according to the Bible, did not send them to open church or pastor anywhere. It's contrary to the Bible. Thank you. Yes?
God bless.
God bless you.
Sir, I want to ask something. Because to me, unbelief is expressing doubt or misgiving of in any type of that's in opinion. You say sin is unbelief.
Eh?
That is that if unbelief is sin, unbelief is sin. So I'm asking, what I mean is it every opinion that is given to you that you have to believe? If you do not believe it, it becomes a sin.
The word of God, is it an opinion?
That is what I want to know. Is it, if any person tells you anything, if I share...
I say, is the word of God an opinion?
It's not.
Now, we are talking about commandments of the Lord. If you disbelieve it, you are an unbeliever.
So, sir, oftentimes there are questions that arises from certain words that have been saying. Questions are being asked every day. Had it become sin if I express a disbelief?
No, the Bible says he who asks will receive, and he who seeks will find. And if you are asking to know, have not sinned.
What I'm saying is the act of it is the action that brings sin, and not the unbelief on a statement that
okay, makes. You are trying to define it for us. What is unbelief? Unbelief is unbelief, whatever definition you give to it. Anything that goes contrary to the word of God is unbelief. Disobedience. God bless you. Yes? Call is coming from Akwa Ibom, Nigeria. Brother Shola, hello?
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Sir, this is Shola calling from Akwa Ibom State, Nigeria, sir. I want to find out, sir. Hello, sir.
Go ahead, we are hearing you.
I want to find out, sir, what of the female pastors that are associate pastors, does it concern them too, sir? Female pastors that are associate pastors.
God bless you. It's not God that made them associate pastor. It is the denomination, the GO, the organization that makes them associate pastor. Pastor is pastor. Whether you are associate, or you are partner pastor, or you are deputy pastor, pastor is pastor, and that does not belong to the woman, according to the Bible. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sir, my question has to do with receiving a baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Now, what will they
talk about? Last year, yeah, we were doing the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So, I saw some people falling, vibrating, shouting, falling down. I want to know, what is the immediate proof that someone has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The immediate proof.
Oh, yes. Now, listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Three key words in that scripture. It speaks about different operations, different manifestations, and different administration. And I have tried to explain, and during this course of this program, I will also explain it. Now, when you want to receive the Holy Ghost, that is the administration of the Holy Ghost. It's a different administration, because when you stand here, you are asking for the Holy Ghost, and God wants to administer the Holy Ghost on you, three of you could be here, and three of you will receive it it will be ministered to you in three different ways, by the same Spirit. Some may fall down and just get slain like that, as if all your bones are gone. And another one may just be feeling a vibration or a fire sensation all over. And another one, only tears may be coming out of the eyes. But something must happen to show that something has happened to you, that gives you reason to begin to watch your life. Something must happen. And that is the administration. Then, before you come to the operation of the Holy Ghost and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost.
Sir, another question I have. I have this confusion about kingdom of God, heaven, hell, lake of fire. Because in the Bible, there's a place they wrote, they were talking about that fornicators, adulterers, people that commit that they shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, where does God actually stay? Is it kingdom of God, heaven, or? And then what's the, and when a sinner dies, initially I used to hear that when a sinner dies, he goes to hell. Then after judgment, then there is lake of fire. So I don't actually understand heaven, kingdom of God, hell, and then lake of fire. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Do you know United Kingdom?
Yes, UK.
Do you know United Kingdom?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where does the king live? Now queen. The head of the kingdom, where does he or she live?
I don't know. Maybe in his castle or mansion.
In London, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm talking of United Kingdom.
Okay.
Okay. But United Kingdom, I think it even extends up to Australia. Eh? The Queen of England is still the royal is still the royal king of of Australia. And there was a time that her kingdom extended even to Nigeria. Eh? It extended everywhere, but she was dwelling in London. Now, a kingdom is a domain with a king. Where a king rules is called a kingdom. A domain ruled by a king. Do you know Jesus Christ is to be crowned King of Kings? Yes. Amen. He has a kingdom that he will rule in that kingdom for how long? 1,000 years. So the kingdom of God is both physical and spiritual. The kingdom of God is the 1,000 reign of Christ where the devil will be put in the bottomless pit and there will be peace on earth with the king ruling in from Jerusalem, ruling the whole world. That is the kingdom that we see in Matthew 25 and other scriptures. Okay. But the kingdom of God is also a spiritual kingdom with laws, with principles, with a king also, spiritual king ruling in the kingdom. And so we see that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you are in that kingdom, spiritual kingdom, you experience these four things. Okay. Now, when a sinner dies, you are correct. He goes to hell, a place of torment, but it's not yet fire. He's remaining in torment until the 1,000 years that has not even begun yet finishes. He's in torment. Any sinner that dies now is going to torment until 1,000 years is over before the white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, where they will be packed, him and Satan and everybody will be cast into the lake of fire. So nobody is in fire now. They are waiting to enter fire. But where they are now, they are waiting trial.
So what of heaven? Heaven, you did not explain heaven.
Oh, heaven,
yes,
is God's dwelling place. God's dwelling place is called heaven. And the place reserved for punishment is called hell. But heaven is also in different levels. We have paradise now. All the saints that are dead now, they are not yet with Jesus. They are in paradise. They are waiting for the rapture. When Christ will come and they will resurrect, they will join us who are alive. And then we'll meet the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be with him for 7 years plus 1,000 years. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, God bless
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, another confusion about heaven. I said first heaven, second heaven, third heaven.
That's why I said they are in various categories. Apostle Paul said he was caught up into the third heavens.
Yes.
There cannot be third until first, second.
Yes.
Now, which one be first, which one be second, you have to ask Apostle Paul, because me, I don't know.
Brother, good evening, sir.
Shalom, Chukwu.
I'm very happy. I'm very, very happy for your goodness and the knowledge of God upon your life.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
God bless you.
So please, I want to ask a question because there's something that is bothering me. Something that really happening in Africa, especially Africa. All these big churches, a lot of them, most of them open schools, hospitals, and I believe that it's the poor masses, poor members that contribute those money to build those things. But it's really painful that none of those poor masses can be able to train their children in that school or take them in that hospital. It's only made for the big names. Is that proper for a Christian group, those that call themselves Christians?
Thank you very much, Chukwudi.
Sometimes I get confused.
Thank you very much. Don't be confused. Because the truth is, the same question you ask is what every Nigerian is asking. But we'll leave that to God to judge. Everybody knows it is wrong. Oyedepo, in an interview 2 weeks ago, read in a newspaper, tried to defend that. To him, the cost of quality education is expensive, and to him, that even what they are charging, as high as it is, to him, it is still very cheap compared to what they are offering in training up the children. While I could agree with him, because the truth is, if you're going to have a standard educational institution, standard one, to really maintain the standard, there are a lot of overhead costs that you have to meet. Power alone, you know what it will cost you to have power, security, water, all this that government should have provided, you have to provide it by yourself there. And to pay and get the quality of teachers, you really have to pay well for them. Now, but our question is, we thought that the church will subsidize that for certain categories of people. Well, he also argued that they have offered scholarship to so many people. So if they offer scholarship to the poor and they leave the rest to the outside public to be able to pay and keep up the place, God will understand. But if they make those schools using church funds and make it unreachable for the poor, then certainly they will answer before God. But as it is now, the poor cannot go to any of those institutions. I also have this, let them know that those who brought quality education to us in Africa, they did not charge us. The missionary society, the missionaries that came and established missionary school education was almost free. And they did not use electricity. They did not use all the same condition we are now was the condition they met at that time. And yet, they provided scholarships sponsored by the missionary, their home offices. And so they have a lot to answer before them and God. But I'm telling you, we are all against it. We are all grumbling. God bless you. Okay, we have come to the end of the question and answer. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Clap your hands for Jesus now.